You know, when this pandemic came, my husband was supposed to come here, and then that couldn't happen because, you know, because of the lockdown and all the situation, you know, going really out of control. Then my husband, my daughter had birthday in August, and then again he couldn't make it. And then during Christmas, we were still waiting, you know, things will be better. And then during Christmas, my daughter, I asked her, what do you want from Santa? And she, you know, to cheer her up. And she said, I have written it on a piece of paper. And she gave me that piece of paper. And it had only one thing. And that was Papa, Daddy.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Welthungerhilfe direkt. Mein Name ist Lena und ich moderiere für euch diesen Podcast. Schon lange habe ich überlegt, mal eine Folge auf Englisch herauszubringen. Und heute wage ich mit meiner Kollegin Discher ein zweisprachiges Experiment. Halb Deutsch, halb Englisch. Und damit etwa so, wie es auch die mehrsprachige Realität bei uns in der Welthungerhilfe widerspiegelt. Diese Folge ist aber nicht nur sprachlich anders als bisherige Folgen. Sie ist ein wenig kürzer und ihr werdet merken, wie Discher immer wieder nach Worten ringt. Denn wir sprechen über ihr Heimatland Indien und die absolut verheerende Corona-Situation. Discher lebt hier zusammen mit ihrer Tochter in Deutschland. Ihr Mann und ihre Familie leben aber in Indien. Ich danke Discher vorab für ihre persönlichen Einblicke in dieser zugespitzten, emotionalen Situation. Discher, ich habe dich heute eingeladen, weil die Situation in deinem Heimatland Indien gerade extrem bewegend ist. Und das merkt man dir auch an. Das ist gerade einfach eine total krasse Zeit. Und du lebst ja hier in Deutschland. Das heißt, du musst das Ganze irgendwie aus der Ferne beobachten. Meine Frage ist, wie fühlt sich das jetzt gerade an, eben so weit weg zu sein von Familie und Freunden und zu sehen, was im Moment in Indien los ist?
I don't know where to start with, Lena. I mean, the enormity of what's happening is actually making me speechless. I am sitting here thousands of kilometers away, and yet I'm involved because five of my family members are positive, because my friends are positive, because people I know are positive. Over past 10 days, dozens of people that me or my family know have lost their lives. There hasn't been any time to grieve. And, you know, I'm worried for everybody. I'm worried for my husband, who actually lives there in India, who's alone right now. There's no family member around. And where he lives, the entire colony is actually barricaded because, you know, there are COVID cases present on that campus. So I don't know what to say, and you know, the tragedy that is unfolding right now in India is not just unprecedented but devastating. You know,
wahrscheinlich kann ich das überhaupt nicht nachvollziehen oder mich da reinversetzen. Ich höre dir sehr bewegt zu und du hast gerade gesagt, 5 deiner Familienmitglieder sind auch Covid-positiv getestet worden. Wie hast du davon erfahren?
So I'm in regular touch with my family members. I mean, the intensity of telephone calls have increased. I actually wake up every day in the morning checking every possible family group and on social media and you know, of course, direct conversation with my family members. You know, these 5 members are actually immediate family members, you know. I mean, the scale of this crisis is so huge that, you know, people are desperate. People are, thankfully, you know, people are desperately helping each other as well. You know, you when you open your social media channels and you see how everybody is posting messages, making SOS calls, distress calls, asking for oxygen, medicine supplies, and, you know, asking for where they can take their families to, family members to, you know, which hospital they can take them to. So, So people are trying to help each other, but then, you know, this crisis is on a different scale altogether. A lot of people have lost lives and a lot of people are on the verge of losing lives.
Du beschreibst ja so eine Situation der totalen Hilflosigkeit, also sowohl natürlich für dich von hier aus als auch für deine Familie vor Ort, wenn sie sich irgendwie versuchen, doch gegenseitig zu helfen. Was würdest du sagen, was oder auch wer macht dir im Moment am meisten Sorgen?
I'm worried for my husband, because, you know, I'm not there with him, you know. Our daughter is seeing that too, that, you know, daddy is there. She every day she talks to him and she's like, daddy, don't go out. Daddy, please stay at home. And he's like trying to, thankfully he's very positive, and, you know, in the sense, you know, he has a positive attitude and he's making us always cheerful. And, you know, he's like, no, don't worry. I'm taking all the precautions. But then I know that, you know, what if that question crosses my mind, and then who is there? There's no one, you know, right now who could actually lend a hand. He's on a university campus, fine. But then, you know, it's all barricaded and, you know, you don't have right now. And, you know, any support system, you know, in these times, you know, if things goes out of control, you need family. And I'm equally worried about my parents, because they live in a district where you do not have enough health facilities. You have just one district hospital. You have just one testing center where you know, every day you see a huge line. My sister became positive and she couldn't even get her RT-PCR test done because, you know, she said, I don't have energy to stay in the queue for so long.
Ja. Du hast ja gerade schon so ein bisschen angefangen zu erzählen, wie euer Familien-Setup eigentlich ist. Also du lebst mit eurer Tochter in Deutschland auch schon seit einiger Zeit und dein Mann lebt in Indien. Wie oft könnt ihr euch denn überhaupt sehen und wie funktioniert das eigentlich seit einigen Jahren, die du auch schon in Deutschland bist?
So I came to Germany in September 2018 and with my daughter, and then a couple of days later my husband came and then stayed here with us. My husband teaches at a university in this town of Allahabad in northern India, and it's a job that we cannot afford to lose. So that's why we decided to, you know, stick to that arrangement where, you know, we thought we would be able to see each other. You know, he will come to Germany, we will go to India, you know, during holidays, and things will be fine. And thankfully, you know, you have this social networking sites where, you know, you can use the phone calls and, you know, talk to him anytime you want to, and he can, you know, call us up anytime he wants to, you know. And this is how it has been functioning. And then I went to India in 2019 and for 15 days or so, and I actually couldn't meet my parents because, you know, in India the distance matters. And from Delhi I went to Allahabad, and then, you know, the time was too limited and I couldn't really go to my parents' place, which is again, you know, a long journey from Allahabad. And I said, you know, okay, Papa, Mommy, next time, you know. And I remember one of my uncles actually writing me back and saying, this was not great, you know, you didn't go and see your parents. And I was like, next time I'll manage, you know. So I never thought that the next time is going to take long. You know, when this pandemic came, my husband was supposed to come here, and then that couldn't happen because of the lockdown and all the situation, you know, going really out of control. Then my daughter had birthday in August, and then again, he couldn't make it. And then during Christmas, we were still waiting, you know, things will be better, better, better. And then during Christmas, my daughter, I asked her, what do you want from Santa? And she, you know, to cheer her up. And she said, I have written it on a piece of paper. And she gave me that piece of paper. And it had only one thing, and that was Papa, Daddy. So I was like completely, I was really, really devastated, you know, don't know what my little daughter is going through actually. You know, she's missing him so much. So I immediately, the next day, in the morning, I wrote a mail to the German embassy. I explained them the situation that we are going through, that my daughter and me, we have not seen our, I have not seen my husband and she has not seen her daddy for almost a year. And thankfully, the German embassy responded very quickly and it worked. And he came here and be with us during Christmas. In fact, he arrived on the Christmas day itself. And then he was here for a month. That was, you know, really great. You know, we could be with each other. And then we said, okay, the situation in India is also becoming better. Maybe in summer, you know, either we'll go, you know, when summer holidays are there, or, you know, he'll come. But then it's again back to square one. You know, the same amount of, it's like, you know, what we were experiencing like last year.
Ich würde ganz gerne noch mal so ein bisschen genauer verstehen, wo genau du eigentlich in Indien herkommst. Du hast das eben schon mal so kurz beiläufig erwähnt. Wenn ich es richtig in Erinnerung habe, auch noch mal aus einem anderen Gespräch, was wir hatten, kommst du ja aus einer eher ländlichen Region in Indien oder sagen wir mal auf jeden Fall nicht aus einer Big City wie Neu-Delhi und auch durchaus eine ärmere Region, wo die Welthungerhilfe zumindest auch schon mal aktiv gewesen ist. Einfach jetzt mal so für jemanden, der das gar nicht, also der nicht weiß, wo du herkommst und wie es da aussieht und wie die Menschen dort leben. Kannst du das ein bisschen beschreiben?
So I come from a district called Chinwara, which is in the central Indian state of Madhya Pradesh. And actually, within that district, you know, you have villages, and I was actually born in a village setting. But then my parents moved to the headquarter area later. You know, headquarter means where you have a college, where you have a hospital, you know. So that district itself is huge, around, you know, 2 million people live there. But the headquarter area where we moved to later has around a population of 260,000 or so. This district, so I was, you know, I was born in a simple middle class family, where my father worked as a professor in a college, and my mother was a primary school teacher. We are three sisters, so I did my schooling there in, till my class 12th. And then I moved to Delhi after clearing an examination for a university. This district where I, you know, my family still lives is unfortunately from, you know, when we say health infrastructure, it's pretty poorly equipped. We completely depend on the neighboring state, neighboring city for our health related issues, if we want to get something tested, if we want treatment, if we want hospitalization, we are referred to. And referred to does not mean that we get a hospital directly, but basically the hospital, the district hospital that we have, ask us, go to that city. We can't help you, simply. That's how blunt it is. And that's, city is around 3 hours drive from my place. So I can recall umpteen times for any health emergency or for any health related checkups, treatment, we have, the only option had been to go to that city. The roads had, you know, in the past had not been very great. Now things have improved in terms of roads, so that distance can be covered in 3 hours. It used to be much more earlier, you know. I can still recall taking my father in ambulance on bumpy roads and, you know, having literally panic attacks on, you know, how he will be able to cope with. But, you know, things unfortunately have been like that. And this, at the moment, again, the scenario is that, you know, there's only one hospital, one testing center, and you know, a couple of private clinics, but then they are not enough to deal with any health emergency, let alone Corona.
Was brauchen die Menschen gerade am meisten?
Everything that you think, you know, you name it, you need in treating COVID-related illness, you know, because, you know, I read somewhere, you know, and that's from my ex-colleague. He said, people are not dying of coronavirus. People are dying because they are not being able to get the treatment that they need right now the most. And they are not being able to get it timely. So we have shortage of everything. We have shortage of medicines, hospital beds, ventilators, intensive care units. And most importantly, shortage of oxygen. I mean, imagine, who would have imagined that, you know, you'll end up in a hospital and you don't have oxygen there.
Hast du im Blick, was wir als Welthungerhilfe gerade in Indien machen, um die Menschen zu unterstützen?
So our team in India, along with our partners, because our partners are, because we implement our projects through our local partners. So our partners and our team are primarily on alert. You know? They have started an emergency program where we are providing food and ration to people who are vulnerable. Because, you know, also because, you know, India, a lot of people in India are migrant workers. You know, they go to cities to get jobs. And now because of the lockdown, they are jobless. They are coming back to their villages because they don't have any jobs. And they need support. So that's what we have done. You know, that's what we are doing. We are providing wherever it is required, with the help of authorities, food and ration, hygiene kits. We have, over the weekend, we have also, you know, with the help of our partners, rolled out helplines for 4 districts in the state that I come from, which is Madhya Pradesh. So that's going to cover 3,000 villages. And that helpline is going to provide immediate, you know, information on what, on the topic Corona, you know, accurate information. That's what is needed, because, you know, you have social media channels and all kind of news, you know, a lot is fine, but then a lot is also fake news. So what people need is accurate information. And that's what we are trying to, our partners are trying to provide through these, helplines. We are also, with the help of, you know, we are also helping local administration, local authorities to set up quarantine centers. This is needed because, you know, in villages in India, a lot of family members live within, under one roof. You know, so you have father, mother, but then their children and then children's children, all living under one roof. You do not have, you know, enough toilet facilities, just one toilet, at, you know, accessible to the entire family. So imagine if somebody falls sick there and has to self-isolate, where will they go? So quarantine centers are very, very important. And this is what we are trying to do, you know, helping authorities establish those. At the same time, awareness raising is something that we have been doing right from the start, you know, since last year.
Was denkst du, können wir tun? Also du, ich, wir hier in Deutschland. Was können wir jetzt? Können wir gerade irgendwas tun?
I think the most important thing is to have solidarity, to have compassion, because this is a pandemic. This is a pandemic, and India cannot fight it on its own, honestly. So I think this is something that we have to keep at the back of our minds, that, you know, this is a global problem, and we have to stand by them. by people, because you know I'm really worried that if that goes further out of control, then the neighboring countries will be suffering too, and and they don't have great health infrastructure either. They have been also fighting since 1 year against this virus. And if they have to see what India is seeing right now, things are going to be very difficult. So we have to, stand by right now.
Woher nimmst du eigentlich Kraft und Hoffnung, Disha?
This comes from my family, honestly. Of course, my husband, who is every day he's the one who's giving me hope. He's the one who's, despite the fact that he's not really in a great situation right now, but he's the one who's keeping us motivated. When I see my daughter, I know that, I have to be strong because, she's alive, and we can't show our sad faces in front of her. We have to somehow keep it going the way it is right now, with whatever we have.
Thank you so, so much, Disha. I find it really impressive the way you talked about your country, the way you talked about your family, and also the way how you still take strength and hope out of this situation. I think talking about what is happening in India right now is also very important to raise awareness, to say also that we can support from here. Ich fand das jetzt sehr bewegend, weil du auch so viele persönliche Dinge geteilt hast, und kann einfach nur nochmal Danke sagen dafür. Und ich hoffe, dass wir damit einen klitzekleinen Mini-Beitrag dazu leisten, dass die Situation in Indien hier in den Köpfen ist und dass Menschen helfen und dass die Situation ganz, ganz bald wieder besser wird.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Lena, really, because talking also helps. And when I talk to our colleagues, I talk to Steffi, I talk to Evelyn almost daily. And I actually, I don't want to bottle it up, because, the more you do that, the more you are not feeling well. So you want to, let it go, just talk. And thank you for listening to me.
Und an alle Hörerinnen und Hörer, ich habe jetzt gerade im letzten Moment auch noch Dishas Tochter durchs Bild laufen sehen, und sie hat so ein bisschen gelächelt und hat es, glaube ich, ganz aufregend gefunden, dass wir hier gerade diesen Podcast aufnehmen. Ganz vielen Dank und alles Gute, und ich wünsche noch einen schönen Tag. Auf bald.
Thank you so much.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Das war Welthungerhilfe direkt, der Podcast der Welthungerhilfe. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, empfehlt den Podcast gerne weiter. Und natürlich freuen wir uns über Feedback, Lob und Kritik an podcast@welthungerhilfe.de. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei Welthungerhilfe direkt.
Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars bei OMR.